To the book of Romans. We're going to be reading from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. And that's on page 920 of the Red Pew Bibles. Shall we pray together before we read? Father, thank you that we can read and listen to your word in peace and freedom. Thank you that in the Bible, James wrote that reading the Bible is like looking in a mirror, and we can see ourselves as we really are. Thank you that because of Jesus, we can also read and see who we can be. Will you move our hearts through your Spirit this morning as we read and listen? And we pray for your special blessing on Paul as he preaches to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to each one of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
But all the kids like to make sort of thing, right? Only a lot of energy this morning, which is wonderful. If you'd like to follow along this morning, we'll be in Romans chapter 12 again, if you want to open your Bibles up, and I'll start us off with a prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for just a beautiful weekend, for a wonderful day yesterday at Maranoa Heights, for the opportunity to join as different parts of your body this morning. And we pray that as we look at Romans chapter 12, that you'll help us to do that well, that you'll help me to speak clearly and truthfully, but also that you'll work by your Holy Spirit to encourage us, to challenge us where necessary, and mostly to help us to see where we fit in this body that you've created here and how we can perform our function well to your glory. Amen. Many of you have probably seen the title of this sermon, have the song Head, Shoulders, Knees and Toes running around in your head. Or that might just be me, because I have a little girl who we like to sing it together with as a means of teaching all the different parts of the body. As you saw a couple of minutes ago, it's also very useful for thinking through the major themes of what today's passage is about, as Paul begins to expand on what this new life looks like. Now that we've been set free from the power of sin and the power and the wrath of God, what we do now in our life and how that goes about. Keeping in mind, as Matt's already mentioned, the very important distinction that we need to make throughout this whole series as we finish up in Romans. We're living out this way not to earn our way out of punishment or to earn God's favour in any way, but because we already have God's favour. We have this new life that's come through him through Jesus. And so we're now finding ways to live that out to his glory. This morning, we're going to look a bit more about the things that we started looking at last week. Last week, Des said we talked about how all our life is to be lived in worship. All our life, all the time. And so this morning, we're going to go to the first place that Paul begins to pad that out a bit as he looks about how our lives are lived out in service of the community and in contributing to the body of Christ that we have here. For some of you, that might make you a little bit apprehensive, a bit nervous about feeling guilty about not being able to serve more or even guilty about not wanting to serve more. But the question this morning isn't so much, should I serve, or how much do I have to do so that I don't have to feel guilty, but what function did God give me in this community He's placed me in? Am I a knee or a toe or an eye or an ear? And if I'm a knee, how can I faithfully be a knee so that this body of Christ here isn't hobbled around but is able to do all that God has intended for it to do, the people that He's gathered here? So this brings us to our first point this morning, thinking clearly about ourselves. Because Paul is going to say that the answers to our questions about service are found in thinking very clearly about ourselves. So if you'll open up with me to Romans 12, verse 3. Paul says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself in sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." Paul, the one who is called to be an apostle and a leader of the early church, calls all the Romans and all of us that if we want to think about how to serve faithfully within the community He's given us, it actually starts with the way we think. We need a clear mind and a clear understanding about who we are and how to think about ourselves. This actually becomes even more explicit if we translate this passage a little bit more literally, which should be up on the board. So it basically says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Rather, to think in sober thinking. It's not even subtle, is it? I'm a guy who can be a rather dense husband at times, but even I can pick that up. Something to do with thinking is in Paul's mind here. Now, given that we are prone to a bit of self-deception about how we think about ourselves, we're going to need some sort of measure to be able to think about ourselves in light of, so that we know we're thinking about ourselves correctly. So what measure do we use? Well, using the ESV, which is perhaps a little bit clearer on this point, we are to think according to the measure of faith that God has assigned to us. So what is this measure of faith that we've been assigned? It isn't that there's different measures for each one of us, like I had a whole heap of glasses here partially filled with water or something like that to play some musical song. It's not a different measure for each one of us, but the one and the same measure for every one of us. The measure of the Christian faith that we all share. The common belief that we have is the measure that we should look at ourselves against. If you consider that this measure is like a ride height measurement to go on a ride at an amusement park, something like that. If you think about it like that, it sort of helps us to understand it. If our shared faith is that measure, do we have anything to feel highly about ourselves about? Well, let's see. Were you a really good person? Did you have any gifts or skills or abilities or desire that got you anywhere when it comes to your relationship with God? Absolutely not. When it comes to that, we're not even close enough to being out of ride. In fact, we wouldn't even be in the picture. And Nick, you want to flick that back up, please, mate? We'll leave it up there for a bit. Thank you. We wouldn't even be in that picture because we're just simply not tall enough. None of us have anything that we can bring to the table in terms of our relationship with God. If you remember back to when we started in Romans chapter 3, looking at sin, it said that all have fallen short. No one seeks God, not even one. Together we've become worthless. So when we think about ourselves according to the measure of faith that we all share, there is nothing for us to think highly about ourselves with. We quite simply haven't brought anything to the table. Equally though, there's nothing for us to feel too low about ourselves with. Because even while we were completely worthless, the Creator of the universe became human, became like us, and then suffered a death on our behalf as our substitute. while we were worthless, God gave us this profound value and this profound gift. So really, when we think about it in terms of our shared faith and in terms of a right height measure, it's not us that's going to be standing up against that measure, but it's going to be Jesus. Jesus is the one that substituted himself for us, so he's the one that stands there. And if it's Jesus in this case, he's a big dude. He's plenty big enough to be able to ride. And all of us who believe in him get to ride because Jesus is enough. All of us actually with exactly the same height, because all of us have exactly the same measure. So this means as we think about ourselves, we do it with a clear mind, not thinking too high of ourselves or too low about ourselves, not thinking ourselves as too important or not important enough. None of us were able to ride on our own. None of us could bring anything to God. But because of Jesus, we have this profound value. Through faith in him, each of us is able to ride. And we do it with exactly the same height. And that brings us to a point of unity in Christ, which is Paul's second point for today. All of us are united in Christ. Although we are different as knees and toes and eyes and ears, each of us has a function and each of us has been brought together as one in Christ. We pick it up from verse 4. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. If you are in Christ, you're not one of many individuals dotted around this church this morning, somehow relating to God on your own as an individual. But rather, you form part of one united, singular body. Each of us dependent on one another. We aren't saved to be individuals, but saved to be part of this connected community. It's actually hard for us to get our heads around in our society. We're trained very much to think as individuals. We look at TV and listen to radio ads, and they train us to think that we're the most important person in the world, that the only person in the world that really matters is us. And that creeps into even the most community-orientated relationships we have. So that in marriages or in families, we live as two individuals or five individuals trying to get what we need, get the most out of it for us and to serve our purposes, rather than living for the other people that we're supposed to be joined together with. Our culture trains us to think as individuals. But when we come together in Christ, when we're in Christ, this individualism, this self-importance, this self-promotion, it dies. It goes to the cross and it dies. Because all of us equally couldn't bring anything to God that made us any more special than anyone else. We just didn't have anything to offer. None of us were going to be able to ride. It was only ever going to be Jesus. We're not saved to be individuals relating to God on our own, but we're saved to be brought together as this corporate body. Every one part dependent on every other part. And that means that we don't make the directions for the body. The head does. And none of us are the head. Not me. Not Des. Not the session. None of us are the head. Jesus is the head. And he guides and directs the body to do what he has always done. To bring God glory. To enjoy a relationship with him and to continue his work of reconciling the world to his Father. Jesus has united us all together in his body, and each of us with a very important function to play. All of us are vital. And if we don't perform that function correctly, Paul says the body is hobbled. A couple of years ago, I was in the process of trying to get ready to run a marathon. I'd run a couple of half marathons, and because of the way my running style was, I actually managed to inflame the middle knuckle in my left foot. Doesn't sound like much, but it got a bit sore, and I didn't want to stop running, so I kept running anyway and just began to adjust my running style because of it. Within a couple more weeks, my knee was starting to really hurt, and then I had problems with my quad, and I just had to stop. I couldn't run anymore. I had to take 8 months off, and I've actually never got back to the whole marathon running thing since. As small as that little bone is in my foot, it was enough to completely derail my plans to be able to do a major task like running a marathon. Because if you want to do that, you need all the parts of your body fit and functioning and working together to be able to achieve that task. You can't do big things with having bits and pieces not working accordingly. And so the same thing happens with the body of Christ. God has, in his wisdom, joined us together and given us all unique functions so that we're not individuals somehow sharing a space on Sunday morning, but an interconnected group of people, each with their own very special function, each relying on the other person to be able to do everything that God has made us to do. And that means that amongst this body, we actually don't have wisdom teeth or appendixes or coccyx bones, things that aren't useful or that we don't need, because every person here is needed. That's the way Jesus set it up, so that he can guide this whole body to do what he has always done, to bring God glory and to reconcile the world to himself. So what part are we? At the risk of sounding a little bit like Dr. Seuss, how would I know if I was a knee or a toe? I wrote that up myself. I was pretty happy with it. So how do we serve our function? After emphasizing that each member of the church has a function, Paul goes on to detail what some of those functions are and how they're to be played out. So if you'd like to open back up with me to verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Again, Paul reminds us that these gifts are gifts of grace. There are different gifts or charismata, but each of them comes from one and the same grace, charis, that we all share amongst us. The gifts are a result of grace. They're not earned. And if they're not earned, there's nothing to be proud about ourselves in terms of the gifts we have or the gifts that we don't have. If we think clearly about ourselves, that's actually what we're going to recognize. But the fact that Paul includes it here is important because throughout church history, people have been known to think that some gifts are far more important than others and to judge themselves accordingly. In the early church, especially for the Corinthians, we get a really clear look that they thought the charismatic gifts, prophecy, tongues, all that sort of stuff, was more important than the other gifts. For our church in our day, perhaps it's gifts of preaching or gifts of music that are far more important. But the truth is they're not. My gift of preaching doesn't make me any more valuable than my complete absence of a gift of music makes me less valuable. My value comes from Jesus and from Jesus alone. So when we think about ourselves, this is the thing to be keeping in mind. So don't think that because you're not something important like a knee and maybe a tiny knuckle in my left foot, that somehow you're of less significance or less importance than anyone else in the community that we have here. All the gifts are of equal importance. Sober thinking shaped by faith will recognize that none of our gifts will make us more important than anyone else, and none of our gifts will make us less important than anyone else. Our importance doesn't come from the gifts, but we're all called to be able to use them in service of the body that we have. So therefore, that we can rejoice in seeing the different gifts that we have and rejoicing God for equipping the body with all of them. That's what we've been given to do. So sober thinking about ourselves recognizes that we've been saved for a purpose, and that in that purpose we've been united in Jesus' body to be guided by him as our head to fulfill the task that he needs us corporately to be able to do. We're given these gifts to use because the body needs them. So as you look at your gifts, as you think about them, if you look at the list there and think, actually, I don't have any of those gifts in that list, that doesn't mean you're a wisdom tooth or something like that. Don't fear, because the list isn't exhaustive. The New Testament has other lists of gifts, and they have different ones in there. The point Paul is trying to make is that there is great diversity in the gifts that God has given, and that all of them are to be used according to the gift they've received. So much so that he can say, if your gift is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is giving, then give generously. Each of us has a role to play in the body, and each of us has this opportunity to use the gift in the way that it was intended to be used. So what are our gifts, and how do we use them well in the community? One of the more helpful ways I've come across in thinking through this stuff, in thinking through whether we're a knee or whether we're a toe and how we perform that function effectively, is using a triangle with three different sides on, sides of ability, of passions, and of opportunity, just up here. So the first thing to do is think through, what are my abilities? What skills has God given me? What are the things that God has enabled me to do that I can do better than, I guess, other people? Some of you might be sitting there this morning thinking, well, actually, God hasn't given me any gifts. What am I supposed to do then? I think, though, that our passage is pretty clear that God has given everyone gifts and that everyone has gifts that are useful for our community. So you may well not know what that is, and that's quite possible. But let me encourage you, if you do, if you're like that, if you don't know what your gifts are, talk to a friend, talk to a mentor, talk to one of the church leaders. Have a look at the list in the New Testament and see if anything there resonates with you. It's great when everyone's got the notes because they know the words I'm supposed to say. See if anything resonates with you. See if there's anything that's a fit. And see if there might be a place where you can at least start to try it out, to give something a go and see if that fits. Whatever you do, don't just sit back and shrug your shoulders and say, like, I don't think I don't have anything. Secondly, after we've looked at our gifts, look at your passions. What makes you most excited? What gives you energy when you do it instead of completely wiping you out? What are the things that most stir at your heart? The God who gave us gifts also gave us our passions. And they're things he's given us to help us with how we connect and perform our role within the body. Again, these might be things that are really useful to talk to with a friend or a mentor about. Then thirdly, think about the opportunities. If my gift and my passion is working with left-footed Brazilian soccer players, there's not going to be a lot of opportunity to do that here. But the God who gave me my gifts and my passions gave them to me for use in this community that he's placed me in. So I encourage you to look around for opportunities where you might be able to use both your gifts and your passions for the sake of the community. That might be to join an existing ministry or team or event or roster. But that equally might be that you look around and you see a particular need and think, God sort of equipped me to do that. And so then maybe you can approach some of the leaders and say, is it possible that I could do this? Finally, then pray about it. Commit the whole process to prayer. The God who gave you the gifts and the passions gave them to you for the work in his body. We're here to serve his body, following on from the head. And Jesus gives us the prime example of what service looks like, because that's what he did himself. He didn't come to earth to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom, as a sacrifice for us. So when we pray about it, ask God to give you the same heart that Jesus has to serve others. Ask God to help you to recognize what your gifts, what your passions, and what opportunities there are to fulfill those things amongst this community. Because I am pretty confident that God, who placed you in this body, would love to be able to guide that process for you as part of what he's doing here. This brings us to our last point this morning: strained or underused. No doubt many of us here have been involved with carrying a big and heavy object at some stage in our life. That might be a table, it might be a fridge, it might be a dreaded piano. But all of us have probably seen that at some stage. And normally when you're carrying something like that, there's a time when you're carrying it where someone is completely straining under the weight. Their eyeballs look like they're about to pop out of their head like a cartoon character. But then there's someone else who's standing a little bit further along who's saying, "I'm not really carrying anything right now. It's all pretty light." I think, unfortunately, that's sometimes what it looks like in the body of Christ. There's people who are straining under the load, eyeballs popping out, nearly burning out with the workload that they have in the body. And there's other people that seem to be there not really carrying anything. As we look at our text this morning, though, I think that sort of situation falls short of both what Paul and what Jesus, our head, intends for the body. Because he intends for the body to be working together, each part carrying its load. Matt actually mentioned this morning that this happens to be Ministry Month, which makes it this morning and this morning's text a rather providential fluke of the church calendar and the church scheduling. But what it does do is it gives us a good opportunity to think about where we fit within this body, the gifts and skills and abilities God has given us, and how we can use them and function effectively and help the body do what Jesus, our head, is calling this body to do. It's a great opportunity to think through things and think through what's going on there. So what holds us back? Overall, I think the main reason, other than us not knowing what our gifts are, is busyness. Many of us, and probably all of us, live pretty busy lives. Probably a lot of people here would like to be able to serve more and perhaps even feel guilty for not being able to serve more, but they have no idea how that would fit in with the rest of their lives, with their work and their families and rest and everything else. Some of those things are due to different seasons in our lives. There might be a time when you have a really busy time at work and you're just doing huge amounts of hours. There might be a time like me and Haley in 3 weeks' time and we're going to have another little baby, and that just means that there's different pulls and responsibilities on our life for a time. Or it might be that you're sick or unable to physically do what you'd love to be able to do in the body. And these are times when it's great that we're a body, when we can take the strain and look out for one another and pick up the slack. However, there's also times when we need to think about the good things that we do. Because there's many good things that we can do: work, family, church, community things, sport, other Christian organizations, rest, leisure. There's a lot of really good things that we can do that will completely fill your life. But that doesn't mean they're necessarily the best things that we can do. Knowing what the best things are and the best things that we can do only comes when we clearly and soberly think of ourselves in line with the faith that we share and that we confess. We spoke last week how worship means that we give all of our life, all the time, to God. It's not as if God gets a little chunk of our life and then we get to spend the rest of it how we like, but all of it belongs to God. Does that mean that every waking moment we should spend serving the church? Not at all. To start with, God has made a priority for us to look after and care for our families. That's one of the things that he's called us to do. But it does mean that upon sober reflection about all the good things that we could do, some of those things might drop off to the wayside as we see what are the best things that we can actually do. Our passage today has made it very clear that we're all part of one body. and that all of us have a role or a function to play within that body as we live out our Christian lives in service to Jesus, our head. If the whole body is somehow hobbled because of the other good things that we're choosing to do and is unable to fulfill its function, as I said earlier, that means that that probably falls short of what Paul and what Jesus, our head, intends for us in terms of making these choices, in terms of thinking through the good things and the best things that we can do. The good news is, though, that the things we do, even the things in service of church, aren't there so that we can somehow earn our way out of the dock, somehow that we can earn our favour before God or earn our favour before people in the church. There's simply nothing we can do to earn our way before God at all. Our shared faith reminds us of that. But equally, our shared faith reminds us that we are brought together in this wonderful act of grace, and that's an act of grace that transforms us, an act of grace that leads us to serve other people, leaves us to make choices in that regard. And so that may change about things about the way we think about service. For some of us, that may lead us to repentance for things that are good, that we've made the best things, and it's meant that the body of Christ hasn't been able to fulfill its function because we haven't fulfilled our function. For others, that might actually mean nearly the opposite, that we need to take a step back because we're taking all the load ourselves as if we're the most important person. And we need to step back and let others join in with the service of God. For still others, that might require us to be creative in the way we think about service so that we can fit it in with the things that are going on in our life at the moment. For example, if you need time together as a family, serve as a family. I can't think of any better way of modeling the faith and of sharing time together as a family than serving together. We had families actually do that yesterday at the Family Fun Day, which incidentally, this isn't in the notes because it was only yesterday that it happened. But what a great example of the body of Christ working together. I was so proud of our church and the way we served and the things we did. We had people cooking several hundred sausages. We had people cooking 800 olive bowls to give away for free. We had people doing jigsaws with kids or making kites or potting succulents. All people in completely different roles, all united together for the one purpose of serving the community as the body of Christ, even united together as the greater body of the church in Kingston doing that work. And not only the people that were gathered there, because we had other people who couldn't be there yesterday that prayed for us, that provided funding for the day, that made Jenga sets and big jigsaws and that kind of thing. People that just found ways to serve and found ways to be part of what the body of Christ was doing. Because that's what it looks like. Different people using their different skills and gifts and abilities for the sake of what Jesus is doing in this world. So you can serve as a family. We have families that serve on welcoming and do a wonderful job with that. We could even use more families like that because it's just a great way for people to come into our church. If you have physical limitations and can't do what you used to be able to do, like I said before, there's people that pray. People commit time to prayer to be able to serve this community. What the Bible makes clear is that all of us have something that we can do. If you earnestly desire to be involved and to serve, God has an opportunity for you to serve this community, and He'd love to help you get into that opportunity. So whether you're a knee, whether you're a toe, whether you're an eye, or whether you're an ear, we all have a role to play within this community that God has placed us in, this shared faith that we have. As we think about ourselves in light of this shared faith, we know that we have a role to play. And we know that that doesn't make us any more important than anyone else or any less important than anyone else. But it does make us a vital part of what we do here. We have all been given gifts out of grace. Gifts for the service and for the building up of this body, directed by Jesus to do what He has always intended us to do. To bring God glory and to reconcile the world to Himself. So may it be that as we think about ourselves in light of our faith, we see clearly that what our gifts are. And that we take the opportunities to serve and to serve with great joy, so that the body of Christ can be built up and that God may be glorified in the world we live in. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that as I look out here this morning, there is a great variety of people, a variety of different members of your body with different gifts, skills, passions, abilities, and opportunities. Thank you first and foremost for saving us, for the fact that we don't have anything to prove to you to earn our status with you. But thank you also that you've chosen in your wisdom to be able to equip us with tasks, to be able to continue that work amongst the world. Please help us to do that diligently. Please give us wisdom as we think through our lives and where we can serve. And please ultimately, by your Holy Spirit, allow that work to bear fruit, not for our glory, but for your glory, that more people would praise your name and come to know you as their loving Father for all eternity. Amen.